What do you say to the person who asks you to choose between the dendrobium and the phalaenopsis? Well, you've put me in an orchid situation. Welcome to episode 69 of On The Ledge podcast, and apologies for my appalling joke to open the show. I'm Jane Perrone, your host, and we're here to talk about our favourite subject, yes, indeed, houseplants. This week I'm giving you an updated tour around my kitchen plants and also some plants in my sunroom, and I'm talking to an expert about Adenium, that's desert rose seeds, and what to do with them once you've got some. Just a reminder, early doors, that there's no episode next week, the 26th. I'll be back in your ears on the 2nd of November with a special recording of my live show, which is taking place at the RHS London Urban Garden Show on the 26th of October at 8 p.m. If you can make it in person to that event, you'll hear me talking to Alice Fowler about our mutual houseplant obsession, and I'll also be chatting to horticulturist Rob Stakovitz about his installation at the show, which shows how bioluminescence in plants leaves works. Fascinating stuff. But don't worry, if you can't make it in person, you'll be able to listen to the recording the following Friday. Also, a heads up for Patreon subscribers, there's a new episode of An Extra Leaf up now, number 16, which is Tommy Tonsberg talking about his Hoya collection and some of his favourite species. And remember, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, it's easy to become one. You just need to donate $5 a month or more to get access to my extra content and become a legend. See the show notes for details. And now is a great time to sign up, because I'm planning to send all my legends, my Patreon subscribers, a little Christmas thank you in the mail, the exact nature of which will be a surprise, but I know you'll like it. So sign up by mid-November to make sure you're on Santa Perrone's list. And if you're an existing legend, do remember to add your postal address to your Patreon account to make sure you're getting your delivery. I'll include a link in the show notes explaining how to do this. And if you want to give a one-off donation, that's great too. Thanks to Baylor, who did that this week. And you can find out how to donate via ko-fi.com. Again, in the show notes, it's as simple as that. All the info's there for you. Anyone who's religiously listened to every episode will remember that I gave you a kitchen houseplant tour back in episode 38, but as I tend to do, lots of the plants have moved around and about, and so I thought I'd bring you another tour of that area, plus some of my sunroom plants, and bonus, I'm going to be putting a video on YouTube which will show exactly what I've got, as well as talking about them. And where do you find me on YouTube? Well, quite simply, I'm youtube.com/Jane Perrone. But for the moment, for the delight of your ears only, here's me in my kitchen. I hope that my dulcet tones manage to drown out the background noise of the passing rubbish lorry, the dog, and the clock ticking loudly, so you can focus on me talking about my plants.
So one of the great things about this kitchen is that although it's north facing, there's a big Velux window in the roof and another window at the back and an open doorway to the sunroom. So there's tons of light coming in the back of the kitchen. So it's a great place for growing so many plants. And as you can imagine, I take full advantage of that. So on the windowsill, I've got five Streptocarpus growing at the minute. They're just at the end of their flowering period now, so they're starting to look a little bit impressive than they have done, but they just keep going and going and going. These are big plants, as you'll see if you watch the video. So I do take off quite a lot of these massive leaves if they get a bit miserable looking after a while. And during the winter, they tend to go into a bit of a dormant period and stop flowering. But this is just the end of that peak period, and they really are easy to look after. They just need water every couple of weeks when they get really dry, and not to be overwatered, because that's the easiest way to make these fellows wilt and rot away. I've also got two hanging containers on the wall. Now, the trouble I had getting these hung up is considerable, which is why the bottom one is still a bit wonky, because I daren't take it off and try to reattach it. These are IKEA containers. I think they're meant
as shower caddies. So they've got holes in the bottom. Now, I put some old rags in the bottom to make sure that no soil or water comes through to onto the fruit bowl below. But at this time of year, I've got phalaenopsis in these because it's too hot in the summer to have phalaenopsis here. But in the winter, they are absolutely perfect. They're getting lots of light and they are in a nice, airy, humid environment. So they sit there quite nicely doing their thing. They should start to reflower fairly soon. And every week or so, I bring them down to give them a good watering. The other corner of the kitchen, I'll head over here, that's got the most plants is this shelving system, which used to be a doorway into the understairs cupboard, but is now a set of shelves. And it's got a lot of plants on here at the minute. At the top, I've got a trough which contains three different plants. I was inspired by James Wong to try this and it's working really well. So no drainage here. And the pot is about 12 centimetres deep, I would say, and it contains these plants and they're watered probably about once every 2 weeks. If you underwater, it's not a problem. If you overwater, you have got a problem when you've got no drainage. On the left here, we've got the lovely Pelionia repens, the watermelon begonia, I think it's called, which is kind of crazy because it's not a begonia. It's a lovely trailing plant. It's flowering at the moment with this incredible spike topped with these tiny, tiny little bobbly flowers. It's a very, very beautiful trailing plant with lovely dark green leaves with a central paler green flash across them. And it's growing so well in this situation. It's next to the back door, so again, more light coming through there, keeping these plants happy. Anything that likes bright but indirect light will be okay here. And it's close to this door. It's only probably about 1 foot to 3 foot away, depending on which side of the shelf you're on. So these plants are getting plenty of light, which is great. Next to the little trough, oh, I haven't told you about the other things in the trough. I've got a Pilea microphylla, which is a tiny, tiny leaved Pilea. The leaves are absolutely minuscule, but there are loads of them. And it's a little clumping plant, which is rather good as a ground cover in these kind of containers. And then next to that, a Pothos Njoi. This one is rather small because people kept asking me for cuttings of it, and being me, I ended up with a rather small plant because I've taken so many bits off it, but it's okay, it's regrowing, so that's fine. Next to that, Calycia elegans, the pinstripe Tradescone Scrantia family plant. This is a really lovely plant. I love the pinstripe dark and pale stripes that it has, and it's really easy. I kind of neglected this plant really badly and didn't water it enough, but as soon as I moved it here and started watering it more, it's responding with some really great growth. I've taken some cuttings and I can use that to bulk out the pot. Next, a mystery orchid. I bought this orchid and I can't now remember what the label said, if it said anything. Oftentimes these labels aren't very useful. I think it might be a Miltonia, I'm not sure. I'd love somebody to identify it for me, but do take a look at this plant on my YouTube video because it's got the most beautiful vintage pot that it's in. So do check out my nice pot, and if you've got an ID, I'd love to know it. Below that, we've got another trough. This one's not quite so successful. The plants aren't quite in balance, but I'm going to have a re-go at it in the springtime. Tradescantia spathacea is basically taking over everything. I've got a Calathea macoiana, which is a baby, very small baby, which is doing fine, but it's the spathacea is really going a bit crazy. And I've got a bit of a sad specimen of Peperomia prostrata, which really needs moving somewhere else. And another one of Pelionia elegans, I think that one is, which is doing okay. Not too bad. Again, like the first trough, this is mulched with Natnix, which is the fungus gnat prevention mulch, which seems to work pretty well, helps keep moisture in. And again, this is only watered every couple of weeks or so, even less in the winter. Then we've got my Pilea peperomioides. Yes, this is the original plant that started me off on when I did my episode on this plant way, way back last year. It's been my stunt plant this summer. Well, I've been throwing it across the room. What this means is that I've been taking this with me to plant talks to show people, and it got a little bit battered, so it's been suffering a little bit. I'm now trying to keep it happy with wick watering and lots of love, and it seems to be responding pretty well.
Next to that, an Epipremnum aureum cutting, Devil's Ivy, which is as juicy and tough as these plants ever are. I want to train this up a moss pole. I've taken some cuttings so that I can have a more bushy pot full of plants, and it's growing well. It's in a terracotta pot, which is unusual for me, but it's good because it keeps it weighed down and stops it falling off and getting top heavy. The only other plant that's on here is Peperomia incarna. This is such an easy plant. Why are we not all growing it? It's a sort of, it goes out sideways. It's sort of a diagonal grower with these amazing heart-shaped, furry, gently fuzzy leaves. Do you remember Fuzzy Felt? Those kits you put together and make pictures with? Well, this is living Fuzzy Felt, and it's a really lovely plant. And again, this was a listener plant swap, and I really love this one because it's just so easy. I just don't do anything to it apart from chuck some water at it occasionally. Then let's go down to the bottom shelf, which is kind of propagation corner. These are things that have been sitting here for a while, and most of them need potting up or sending off to the people that I've promised them to. I've got some String of Hearts cuttings, which have rooted really, really easily. This is a really easy plant to root, I should say. So if you want to make your String of Hearts more bushy, because oftentimes you see them with only a couple of strands, this is a great way of doing it. Just put some cuttings into some water and let them root. I've also got my coleus here, which will probably sit here until springtime with some plant food added into them. And I've also got, what else have I got in here? It's loads of different things growing in the same thing. Oh, just to say, these are in milk bottles. So I have a milkman, and he delivers my milk in milk bottles. So I use these as propagation vessels. They're great because they're heavy, they don't fall over, they're narrower at the top, and they are fantastic for propagating loads of plants. Right, what else have we got? Well, the other side of the kitchen is actually where I mostly prepare food. So there's not a massive amount of plants on here. I've just got three at the minute, three peperomias and one Christmas cactus. One of the peperomias I don't have an identification for. It's one of those ones I bought in Morrison's for £1 on a whim. So if anyone can ID that for me, then I'd love to know. I've got a tiny weeny Peperomia caparata russo from, I think this might have been from Plant Junkie as a swap. It's adorable and tiny. It's so cute. So I love that one. And I've also got a watermelon peperomia, which is still a baby, but that's growing really nicely too. And I love having a few plants there. They help to sort of provide me with inspiration when I'm doing some cooking, and they also kind of cover up ugly plugs and things like that. And the final corner to look at is by the sink, and these are my sort of high maintenance propagation plants. These are things that I'm propagating that I need to keep a close eye on, and again, they're in milk bottles. Plus I have a nice propagation vessel which I bought from a local gift shop. You can find that on my Instagram account if you want to take a look at that. And all the plants here are doing absolutely fine. Some are rooted, some are still waiting to get their full roots, but I can keep an eye on them while I'm doing the washing up and know when their time comes to move. Well, that's the kitchen tour done. It's my coffee time now, so I'll be back shortly with more. Bye. Right, houseplant fans, it's time for question of the week. So the question this week was definitely outside my realm of experience, so I decided to call in somebody who knows a bit more about this plant than I do. The question comes from Instagram, somebody called, I can't even pronounce their Instagram name, Zave. I'm going to call you Zave. I hope that's okay. Your question was, I'm wondering if you have ever grown Adenium, and if so, has it ever produced a seed pod? My baby produced two pods earlier this year, and I looked up what to do to save the seed pods, but that didn't go well. Now again, I have six pods. Any advice on round two of saving the pods? So the Adenium or Desert Rose, this is a plant I have, but I can't claim to have any great success with it. So I've called upon British Cactus and Succulent Society Chairman Ian Thwaites. I always get the bigwigs of the cactus and succulent world onto my show to help me answer this question. Hello, Ian. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Jane.
I've grown this plant. I haven't managed to get it to flower. My Adenium is not particularly happy. It just sort of sits there looking a bit miserable most of the time, apart from in spring when it seems to have a flush of growth. So I really am not an expert in this plant, and I've never had seed pods. And this is one of these examples where, you know, the internet can be a bit of a blessing and a curse, because you go online and you read all these different pieces of advice and you're not quite sure what to do. So can you offer Zave some guidance on what to do with these seed pods, Ian?
I can indeed. Adeniums, they have lovely, lovely flowers, and they really are probably suited to being a houseplant. Lots of my fellow collectors don't find them particularly easy. And I think that's because they like a little bit more warmth and water than a lot of the normal cacti and succulents would grow. When you're lucky enough to have a seed pod set, and they're not the easiest things to pollinate yourself with a paintbrush, better with insects if they can do it, you get a horn, which is it's almost like two fingers being stuck up, but in a very polite way.
Okay.
And then the seed pods will split naturally, and all the seeds are attached to a little parachute, so the slightest breeze and they float away. A little bit like dandelions, although the seeds are that much bigger.
Okay.
So there are a few requirements, particularly if you're growing it in a greenhouse or somewhere where there might be quite a little bit of air movement. Most people like opening their windows. So the first thing to think about is maybe you can use a little bit of wool and just tie the seed pods two or three places down the length of the seed pod. So when you see it does split, it doesn't open fully and all the seeds float away. But the other thing you can do, which it tends to be my preferred method, is that I go on the hunt for people's used tights and I cut the feet off. And if you put a used tight over it and then just... it allows air through it, and then when they split open, you can see it all going fluffy inside. And then you can take the seeds out.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. It's amazing how many uses gardeners find for used tights. They're one of the most good things to have for reusing in the garden, I find. I use one to put on the downpipe of one of my water butts, which tends to get stuck with lots of moss from the roof and things. And all of the debris goes into the tights, and then every so often I empty it. So yay for used tights.
Yeah, indeed.
So you leave them on the plant until they, you know, in some way protect them with your tights. And then once they've exploded, then you've got the seeds trapped and you can then harvest them.
What you need to do, you need to take off the flying mechanism, the fluffy bit, because if you leave that attached to the seed and when you sow it, it tends to attract mildew and, you know, just doesn't help. So if you just separate the seeds and they come apart very, very easily, and you have little seeds which are probably about a third of a centimetre long, maybe a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, and they're little pencil-shaped seeds. Now, the seeds on Adenium are notoriously short-lived. They don't last very long. So the best thing to do with them is probably this time of year. My plant is... seed pod has just recently split, and I chased the seeds around the greenhouse because I didn't practice what I preach. The best thing to do is I've stored mine in an envelope in a cool position, and I'm going to sow them probably February, March next year. And you need to sow them in a heated propagator. And the way I do it is mix up a standard compost, one part grit or perlite to two parts compost. I don't get on very well with John Innes, so I tend to use, I shouldn't say it, but an organic type compost. I'm not allowed to say peat these days, but if you get the drift. And rather than everyone tells you to scatter cacti and succulent seeds on the top, I don't. I push my seeds just, if they're pencil shaped, I just push them so the top is flush with the compost. And I keep the compost just damp. It's heated in a propagator, and you should get germination probably within 2 to 3 weeks, I would think. It's been a while since I've grown them, but they're not that slow to germinate. When they get going, then You can put the pots that you've sown them in a polythene bag to help retain humidity.
Right. Well, that sounds all very straightforward, and perhaps that's something that Zave can do for our On the Ledge sew-along next spring. That sounds straightforward. I would love those, Ian, some tips for keeping my Adenium, my desert rose, looking better, because it's pretty miserable and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It's interesting that you say it needs more warmth and water than a lot of cacti and succulents. Mine has been outside for the summer. I haven't brought it in yet, but I will. I mean, it's been in a greenhouse. It hasn't been outside. But I never seem to get it looking happy. So maybe I need to water it more.
I think it's probably a little bit of adding more water. They green up and they do respond to feed quite quickly. So
okay.
They're almost a little bit of a thuggish plant, and they're very, very popular in the Far East.
And mine seems to be, I haven't repotted mine since I got it, and it seems to be potted in a sort of, it almost looks like orchid compost, a very sort of free, open kind of thing. And I'd have no idea if that's the right stuff for the Adenium.
I would just suggest any fairly rich compost with, you know, added grit and perlite, even up to 50%.
Right.
A lot of growers now put them in 100% mineral soils and feed regularly. They like a little bit of warmth. They do like the warmth, and they do like a fair amount of water and food when they're growing.
Okay, and what about during the winter, coming now into the winter time here in the UK? Should I sort of, I mean, I'm going to bring it inside. Should I repot it now, or should I wait till spring, do you think?
I'd probably wait till spring, let it dry out, and then I'm a great believer in talking to your plants, not because they actually understand what I'm saying, but when you have a conversation with people, unless it's on the phone, you tend to look at them. And I look at my plants when I'm talking to them, and when I see it wanting to grow, I will water it. And when I see it slowing down, I will reduce the water.
And will it lose its foliage over the winter time? Will it sort of go a bit dormant? And
mine tend to. I tend to give mine a fairly dry rest during the winter. They're in my warm greenhouse, so they are warmer than the house generally. So that's only because my wife likes fresh air.
Well, that is excellent advice, Ian. I'm sorry, this has turned slightly into Jane Perrone's question about Adeniums, but I hope that that's helped Zave to know what to do with their seed pods. And I think with that advice, hopefully I'll be able to get mine in a better state next year and get some flowers off mine, because they are very, very beautiful plants, and they're all over Instagram. And I should mention that you, as well as being chairman of the BCSS, are also a professional photographer, and it's definitely worth having a look at Ian's Instagram, which is Botanical Photographer. I'll include that in the show notes, but there are some fantastic pictures of cacti and succulents on your feed, Ian. Some real delights on there.
I'm afraid most of them are just phone pictures, I will say. I tend to do Instagram on my phone, so when I'm out and about, I quite enjoy just playing.
Oh, well, it still looks fantastic. And in fact, I think I've just actually seen an Adenium on there. So it's definitely worth having a look at your account. And tell us again, Ian, why we should all be joining the BCSS, just while we're here. Give you a plug.
Well, the BCSS is a society dedicated to growing cacti and succulents. And we have a conservation arm. We try and give money to help protect the plants in the wild. But we produce a really, really good magazine four times a year. But we have a network of branches, so you can go along, meet like-minded individuals and enthusiasts, and generally just enjoy the hobby and get more out of it. And the wonderful thing is, when you meet people, other enthusiasts, you tend not to have to buy plants, because people will give you plants and cuttings.
Yes, it's a very generous world. And your seed scheme is also fantastic. If you don't have any cactus seeds to harvest yourself, you can sign up for the seed scheme and get lots of different cactus and succulent seeds very, very cheaply, which is a wonderful way of adding to your collection. So I highly recommend that people have a look at joining. Thank you so much, Ian. That is brilliant. That's really helped me, and I'm sure it's helped Zave as well. So thank you very much for that great advice.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Jane.
If you have a question for On the Ledge podcast, then hit me up. ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com. You can also drop me a line on Instagram, where I'm j.l.perrone, or send a message via Facebook or my website, janeperrone.com. Well, now, part two of the houseplant tour. This time we're in the sunroom, aka the playroom, looking at some of the trailing plants that hang down in the archway between that room and the dining room.
So here in the playroom again, we have loads of light, which is a brilliant feature of this room. A big glass ceiling all the way across. So there's loads of natural light. But again, it's north facing, so not a lot of blaring sun. This room has quite a few plants in it. If you go to my Instagram stories at j.l.perrone, you'll see a video of some of my coleus, which are on the desk, crowding out anything else on there. I've done a video of the coleus pruning that I showed in the last episode because some of you wanted to actually see what I did. So go and have a look at my Instagram stories at j.l.perrone. If you look under pruning, you will find that short set of videos explaining how it's done. Let's have a look at the rest of the room though. We've got a lot of plants in the archway above the room dividing, where the room divides off to the dining room. The dining room is quite dark, so there's not any plants in there at the moment, although I'm hoping to change that with some grow lights soon. But for the minute, all the plants are hanging above on a shelf above the arch of this room. And we'll start with the lovely Monstera adansonii, which is such a hungry plant. If your adansonii is looking a bit miserable, then do give it a feed, because this one really does like lots of fertilizer. This one's hanging down quite nicely. I've had it about a year and I've taken loads of cuttings of it. I've got two big strings of pearls, which I talk about in my Trailing Plants Week episode. I've also got a lovely Hoya linearis, another plant that I look at in that episode. Now, that one is next to a columnea, which is a trailing plant that I got as a cutting from James Wong from that episode. And I've got a satin pothos, although it's not looking particularly happy. What's up with you, satin pothos? I don't really know. I need to check that one out. I've also got a philodendron Brazil cutting, and this is looking really rather fine. Beautiful heart-shaped leaves with lime green splashes of colour on them. And this one's doing really rather nicely in its terracotta pot. I've also got dogs shifting around in the background. Thank you, dog. I've also got some Phalaenopsis orchids in a container up there, a Hoya carnosa, which I rescued from myself, actually. I nearly killed this plant, and then I managed to bring it back from the dead. I don't quite know what happened, but the cutting that I took is now well established and doing fine. And I've got a lovely long string of hearts, which is trailing right down to the lower level and making a mess everywhere. It's actually trailing down towards a trough that I made, again inspired by Mr. James Wong. And this one's got the lovely Begonia erythrosa in it, which is a beautiful big leaf, chunky leaved beefsteak begonia. It's also got a Calathea Maui Queen, which is getting over a spider mite infestation. In fact, I need to do a bit more cleaning of those leaves to get rid of the last few. And it's also got Cyanotis somaliensis in here. That's the pussy ears trailing plant. But at the minute, this one's growing up. All the dog's having a scratch now. Wolfie. The Cyanotis somaliensis, which is a trailing plant, but at the minute it's just growing up because it's not quite tall enough to start trailing over the side of the pot. And my Stromanth triostar is here also. It had spider mites over the summer and had a really good haircut, and now it's looking a bit happier. But as ever, as I always say with spider mites, you've got to keep going on and on and on to make sure that the plant is truly free of these little tiny beasts. Moving round, I have the coleus that I've already talked about on the desk, and a lovely, finally lovely, Begonia maculata. Again, have a look at my Instagram stories for an explanation of how I use wick watering to keep this plant happy. It's one of those plants that you see on Instagram a lot, and people struggle with it to keep it looking nice as it was when they bought it. But I've pretty much figured out to keep this plant happy now. I've got a nice Calyria, which is looking rather good, which has got a lovely green furry fuzzy leaf with a very slight red
outline around the leaves, which is very beautiful. And my Begonia listarda, which again, like the maculata, was looking really miserable, but in a self-watering pot, it's actually started to flower now. So this one's finally starting to look a bit happier. That constant moisture provided by the self-watering pot really is doing the trick. Oh, also just to mention, knocking over the Lego box. There's a lovely, well, it's finally becoming lovely, a German ivy, which came as a tiny cutting and was a bit tricky to establish. That's finally starting to come good. It's worth bearing in mind when you have a cutting that's new, oftentimes it will not be brilliant from the start. You have to give it a bit of time and cosseting in order to get that plant looking good. It's got to establish a good root system, and once it's established a good root system, that will really help a plant to thrive. And then on the other side of the arch, we've got Gesneriad Corner. Those of you who follow me on Instagram may have seen this on my Instagram feed. So this is my area of other Gesneriads other than Streptocarpus. It's quite a narrow shelf. There's not enormous amount of room, which is why it's ideal for things like my Petrocosmias and my Smithiantha, my new Smithiantha, which is Smithiantha extra sassy with beautiful green fuzzy leaves with a dark maroon stippling on them. That plant's coming along really nicely. I got that from Shrubland Park Nurseries. Have a look on my Instagram feed also for Petrocosmia cryptica, which has the most amazing leaves. They have very long hairs on them and a beautiful slight variegation. It's a lovely tiny rosette that's good for small windowsills. And this little specimen is about to flower, which is so exciting. I've got another Petrocosmia, which is called something ridiculous. What's your name, Petrocosmia? It's called something silly, and I've now forgotten what it is. Oh, Keystone's Lafayette. This one is doing okay. It's not as exciting as Cryptica, I have to say. The leaves are much more like a dwarf African violet. Speaking of dwarf African violets, I do have one of those. It's called Max Black Jack, and it has some dark variegation on the leaves and maroon flowers. I haven't quite got the hang of this one yet. It's not entirely happy, but we'll persevere. What I have got the hang of is my Primulina Hisarco. My God, this is a beautiful plant. Amazing silver filigree variegation on the leaves and a lovely pale purple flower with a white and yellow throat that comes up on a long and delicate and elegant hairy stem. I love it. And then I've got my Episeas, which were grown from seed for the sew along and which we talked about in the Trailing Plants episode. These are also just have the most incredible variegation, and they are actually growing in pots with no drainage grouped together, and so far they're doing all right there. I just give them a drop of water occasionally. They will need separating out at some point as the plants grow, however, so I need to keep an eye on those in the springtime as they start really putting on some growth. So that's part of the sunroom. I will bring you the rest of the sunroom in another episode, because I have given you quite a lot of info there and I don't want to overwhelm you. But that's sunroom tour part one complete. Do go and have a look on YouTube so you can actually see the plants. And if you've got any questions, then do let me know. And do check out the show notes, where I'm going to include a full list of all the plants we've talked about today. Wraps up this week's episode. I will see you in 2 weeks' time for episode number 70. Bye! The music you heard in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, Government Funded Weed by Black Ant, and An Instrument the Boy Called Happy Day Gakana by Samuel Corwin. All licensed under Creative Commons. See my website for details.